Since Kennedy's seminal 1940 paper describing optomotor anemotaxis in Aedes aegypti, little has been done on the orientation of mosquitoes to odor sources, or describing the orientation of mosquitoes to odor sources. However, there has been a couple papers, Toondecker et al. From Rincardet's lab, and then with Aedes aegypti, and Miriam Cooperband and Carday in 2006 with Culex quinquefasciatus's orientation towards carbon dioxide. In this study, we're using the species Culex quinquefasciatus, and we're looking at how does Culex quinquefasciatus respond to odors from humans as well as CO2. And we're using a wind tunnel to study this, and we're using a novel tracking system to describe the orientation. First, the wind tunnel. We've got a 1.5 meter long by half meter long wide, half meter tall wind tunnel with an airflow of approximately 0.2 meters per second. Being in Southern California, have to really crank up the relative humidity in the wind tunnel. So we bring that up to about 65% and control the temperature at about 27 degrees Celsius. Down here on the bottom slide, we use a cover of a non-reflective cloth to remove any external visual cues from the wind tunnel, and as well, it gives us a nice matte background for videotaping. And because we are videotaping from the bottom, as you'll see in a moment, we've actually moved optomotor cues to the ceiling. For our odor source, we're using 4% CO2 mixed from tanks and humidified and warmed, and we're releasing it from this this glass ring that provides a turbulent flow of carbon dioxide at approximately 2 liters per minute. Our odor source is coming in a superimposed plume from a dish immediately behind the carbon dioxide. And as an odor source, we're using glass beads that we've actually worn inside a sock for approximately 2 hours, and then placed into a petri dish over a heating device hooked to a variable power supply, so we could heat the beads to approximately 33 degrees, or approximately human skin temperature. For our lighting and our video capture, we are lighting the wind tunnel. The wind tunnel is fairly dark, but we are lighting it with 460 IR at 960 nanometers lights, or infrared lights. We're filming it down here on the bottom with two parallel CCD cameras with 6mm lens. We're adding a small amount of visual light from a diffuse incandescent bulb. And these IR lights actually provide an incredibly bright picture inside the wind tunnel. As you can see here, here's a picture capture from the video. And you could clearly see the mosquito flying right in the middle. And if you look at this, this is one of the tricks we found to making this work, is this image is purposely blurred because the video picks up the mosquito and less of the noise from light reflecting off of the objects in the wind tunnel. We're using a novel tracking system from the Noldus company, which involves first making tracks for both of the video cameras, making two-dimensional tracks, and you can see the track of a mosquito through here, and then using the Noldus Track 3D system, which relies on a calibration object down here that's filmed in the wind tunnel before we run the mosquitoes, and that allows the software to take those two individual 2D tracks of each run and convert it into a three-dimensional track. One of the very nice things about this software is the older systems that were used in the lab were very time consumptive, plotting each of the mosquito tracks frame by frame on the video. And on this, we could actually do a high throughput and analyze 20, 30, 40 videos, or make 20, 30, 40 3D tracks per day using the software. The data generated by the software is an enormous Excel file that provides up over 30 parameters, including the location of the mosquito on the X, Y, and Z axis, the location of the odor plume within the wind tunnel, path headings, tortuosity, velocity, and actually accounts for the wind in the wind tunnel with drift, and provides a frame-by-frame angular change in velocity. It also provides these nifty three-dimensional tracks that within these tracks you could actually identify the odor plume, because the period spent in the odor plume is identified by the purple, and the time outside by the red. We could review this by any angle. I apologize, I'm afraid of putting videos in these talks, so I haven't actually animated this. But we've actually been able to go back into the original videos and confirm that these are very accurate positions of the mosquito within the wind tunnel. For our experiment right now, and this is early on in our analysis, but we've been using four treatments, one being clean air, another being carbon dioxide alone, one being foot odor alone, and then combining foot odor with carbon dioxide. The analysis begins when the mosquito initiates flight out of the release cage, and we're recording the initial flight upwind. And for the most part, the mosquitoes, given a few minutes, will always fly upwind, and almost all of the flights are analyzable we're able to analyze almost all of the flights by the software. For this talk, I'm going to present analysis of four parameters that we've averaged over all tracks and all mosquitoes. And these are a percent time spent in the odor plume, the tortuosity of the flight in three dimensions, the average flight speed, and the source finding of the mosquitoes. The percent time spent in the odor plume. We've got the treatments on the x-axis and the percent time spent on the y-axis. And as you can see here, there's a significant difference in the time spent within the odor plume when both carbon dioxide and human odor are added. Moderate amounts of time spent in the odor plume with just CO2 or with just foot odor, and a small percentage of the time do the mosquitoes spend in the odor plume when there's no odor in the odor plume. And our plume is approximately 14 centimeters in diameter, which approximately conforms to the size of the ring that is producing the carbon dioxide. For the tortuosity, which is the total distance traveled by the mosquito divided by the distance from the start point to the end point of the track, got a higher tortuosity when the mosquito is exposed to only carbon dioxide, moderate amounts of tortuosity when the mosquito is exposed to only the human foot odor or to the odor from carbon dioxide with the foot, and a similar tortuosity with just the clean air, the control, indicating that the mosquito flies a much more erratic path going back and forth through the odor plume when exposed to carbon dioxide, but flies in a straighter path when exposed to foot odor. And the addition of foot odor to the carbon dioxide seems to attenuate a lot of the back and forth movement the mosquitoes display when they're exposed to just carbon dioxide. The average speed, and this is speed in three dimensions as well, so recording the vertical movements, the vertical velocities, as well as the horizontal and upwind velocities. The mosquitoes fly slightly faster when exposed to just CO2, and have similar amounts, similar speeds when exposed to foot odor or to clean air, and actually fly much slower when exposed to carbon dioxide in addition to human foot odor. And then for source finding, there is not a significant difference between carbon dioxide, foot, is that 2 minutes? Between carbon dioxide, just human foot odor, and carbon dioxide and foot odor combined. However, there does seem to be a trend that they find the source more often. Over 60% of the time, they actually find the source. And as what we were using to define source finding is the mosquito actually flying through the carbon dioxide ring. In future experiments, I think we may light this on fire and see if we can get them to fly through burning hoops. And these are representative tracks from each of the four treatments, where you can see in the carbon dioxide, typically you get these mosquitoes moving back and forth through the odor plume before they start their upwind flight. Whereas with the carbon dioxide and foot odor, you get a much more direct flight upwind. And you can see in these figures, you can see where the odor plume goes right through the middle here. And I apologize for the inconsistency in the figures, but the software can creates these graphs based on the area that the mosquito flew in and not in the actual size of the wind tunnel. And you can see down here with the air, they typically fly just a straight path upwind. And they typically do fly upwind even in the absence of air. So in summary, CO2 alone produces a rapid flight with regular counter turns, keeping the mosquito in the plume, and provides a moderate source of odor of source finding. Exposure to foot odor provides a moderate source of odor finding as well, but a much more direct flight to the odor source. And that CO2 combined with foot odor may actually provide a better source finding and provides a similar track to foot odor alone. Future directions, we're going to dissect these tracks into individual frames and how the mosquito flies within the odor plume. We're going to test several individuals. I personally don't know exactly how well I smell to a mosquito, and some people may be more attractive or less attractive. And we're also going to attempt to collect these odors from the foot beads and test the individual odors present in the foot beads. As well, we've been conducting some landing assays where we can do these simultaneously with a third camera pointing down on top of the beads and monitor when the mosquitoes actually land on there. And you can see the mosquito sitting there trying to feed on the beads right there. This will actually allow us to do flight tracks and compare different odor sources at the same time. And the landing is actually fairly reliable on the odor sources, at least compared to a blank control. With that, I'd like to thank our funding sources and Kim Klingler, our reliable mosquito grower.